opening narration.
Ekatra Foundation presents the Ekatra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI.
Introduction.
Welcome to the Ekatra Dialogue. Today, we're diving deep into the world, the very private world, of a true cinematic legend, Al Pacino.
Yeah, and we're doing this through his memoir, Sonny Boy, which is, well, it's quite something, after decades of silence, really.
Exactly. He's famously private, so this book gives us this unprecedented look into his life, his art, you know, the whole journey.
It really does.
Our mission today is to sort of unpack the man behind these huge, iconic roles, Michael Corleone, Tony Montana, you name it.
And understand that journey he took. It wasn't just about acting, was it? It was self-discovery, finding his artistic truth.
Right. It's not just another celebrity memoir. It feels raw, poetic even.
Yeah.
Deals with poverty, sudden fame, loss, all of it.
And the surprising thing is how he resisted writing it for so long, over half a century. So Sonny Boy feels like a real landmark. It's unfiltered. You get this sense of the real person peeling back the myth to find this shy kid from the South Bronx.
Sonny Boy. The name his family called him.
That's him. And the book itself, it's written in this unique way, almost like a conversation. It jumps around emotionally, not just straight chronology.
Yeah, it really does feel like you're just sitting there listening to him talk.
The chronological journey.
It's captivating.
Okay, so let's start at the beginning then. Alfredo James Pacino, born 1940, South Bronx. What was that like, the 40s and 50s there?
Well, gritty is probably the word. Vibrant, but definitely gritty. He talks about poverty, real deprivation.
But also love, right? From his mother, Rose, and his grandparents.
Absolutely, especially them. Kate and James Girardi, his maternal grandparents, they were central.
So his father left early on.
Yeah, Sal, his dad, limped when Al was only two. Pacino reflects on that, you know, how that absence, that wound, kind of shaped his art, that search for connection, maybe.
Interesting. But the name Sonny Boy, that came from his mom and grandparents.
Mm-hmm. That was their name for him. It represented this, like, cherished, protected part of him. A stark contrast to the tough neighborhood.
And his grandfather, James Girardi, came from Corleone, Sicily, ironically enough.
Can't make it up.
He was a plasterer, but Pacino describes him as this amazing storyteller.
His first great storyteller, yeah. Acting out tales, bringing this, like, theatricality into their lives.
And his mother, Rose, she seems key to the book.
Oh, completely. She's the tragic, beautiful center, as he puts it. Sensitive, nurtured his imagination, took him to the movies constantly.
And he'd reenact the scenes.
For his grandmother, yeah. With incredible detail, you can just picture it. The early seeds were definitely sown there.
So how did that whole environment, the poverty, but also the love and the storytelling, how did it really forge him?
Well, he's brutally honest about the poverty. He frames it as this crucible. It built resilience, obviously, but also this desperate need for escape.
Which he found in make-believe.
Exactly. In the movies, in pretending. So you have this duality. Mm. The tender family life inside and the harsh performative world outside on the streets. That tension. It's fuel.
You can see how that would feed into his characters later. That mix of vulnerability and survival instinct.
Absolutely. School wasn't his focus, though.
No, not at all. He mentioned struggling with dyslexia, feeling disconnected. But getting into the high school of performing arts was huge.
Even though he dropped out later.
Yeah, dropped out at 17. But that acceptance, it was like the first real validation, right? That his passion wasn't just some kid's fantasy. It was real.
It showed him a path. Maybe that feeling of being an outsider in school even sharpened his observation skills, his emotional intelligence.
Hmm. Good point. So after dropping out, he enters what he calls his time in the wilderness. What does it mean?
Years of struggle, basically. Wandering, working odd jobs. Janitor, messenger, usher, just to survive.
Yeah.
Living this bohemian life in Greenwich Village.
Completely devoted to the off-Broadway scene.
Utterly consumed. Wow. Sleeping in theaters sometimes, just soaking it all in. It was about the craft, nothing else.
Wow. That anecdote about walking home in the rain.
Yeah. From the Village all the way to the Bronx. Because he had no bus fare. It's heartbreaking, but also tells you everything about his dedication.
Defeated, but exhilarated, he says.
Exactly. He knew he'd do anything for it. It was this period of intense self-sculpting. Hardship just seemed to make him more determined.
Did he have mentors during that time? People who saw the spark?
He did. Charlie Lawton was a key early figure. An acting coach who introduced him to the classics, Chekhov, Shakespeare, gave him some structure.
But the big one was Lee Strasberg, right? The Actors Studio.
That was the goal. His true university, as he calls it. But it wasn't easy getting in.
He got rejected.
Multiple times. But he kept at it. Finally got accepted in 1966, age 26. He said it felt like coming home.
So let's talk about the method. It gets talked about a lot, often misunderstood. What was it for Pacino, based on what he writes?
Right. It's not just mumbling or being difficult, like the stereotype. For Pacino, Strasberg gave him a language, a way to understand his own emotional instrument.
So it's not about pretending.
No, it's about finding and revealing a truth that's already inside you, using your own genuine personal emotions and memories as the source material.
He calls the actor an emotional athlete.
Yeah, and it's painful, he admits that. But addictive. Connecting with that raw truth, he calls it a dangerous science like bottling lightning.
Dangerous science? How so?
Well, think about it. If a character is experiencing deep grief, the method actor isn't just acting sad. They're reaching back into their own life, finding a moment of comparable pain, and bringing that real feeling into the scene.
Wow, that takes immense vulnerability and constant self-examination.
It does. He acknowledged the toll, how it could blur the lines between himself and the character, but the authenticity it unlocked was, for him, worth the cost.
Core philosophy and values integrated with Turning Point's legacy.
Okay, so he's honing this craft, this dangerous science. He starts getting acclaim on stage, Obie Awards.
Right, he's making a name for himself in the theater world. And then comes the film The Panic in Needle Park in 71.
A really raw, authentic performance.
And that catches the eye of Francis Ford Coppola.
Which leads us to The Godfather. This is such a legendary story.
Mm-hmm.
Paramount did not want him for Michael Corleone.
Oh, absolutely not. They were horrified. They wanted a big star, Robert Redford, Warren Beatty, someone established. Pacino was relatively unknown in film.
And the auditions were brutal.
Excruciating, he says. He felt constantly like he was about to be fired, just hanging on by a thread, an outsider again.
But Coppola believed in him.
Unwavering faith. Coppola threatened to quit if they didn't cast Pacino. That's huge. That artistic sponsorship changed his life.
And Pacino had to find his way into Michael, right?
Right.
He didn't see him clearly at first.
No, he felt Michael was maybe too cold, too still. But Coppola helped him see Michael not as the gangster stereotype, but this tragic figure burdened by family, by destiny.
Trying to protect his family, but getting consumed by the darkness.
Exactly. And Pacino found that quiet intensity, that hidden power, partly by drawing on his own quiet nature, his shyness, in contrast to the violence. That's a method finding resonance.
Three pivotal turning points integrated.
So The Godfather hits, and it's an explosion. This is turning point number one, right? Global fame.
A tidal wave, he calls it. Completely disorienting. And then in just 5 years, boom, 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 Serpico, Dog Day Afternoon. Iconic roles.
But that fame came at a cost. He talks about this split identity.
Yeah, the shy, sunny boy from the Bronx versus Al Pacino, the global superstar. He struggled intensely to reconcile those two.
Hiding out, feeling like a ghost in his own life.
Pretty much. That famous quote, fame is a mask that eats into the face. For years, I didn't know who was who. It was a deep, ongoing conflict.
Okay, fast forward to the 80s, a different kind of period for him. Creative struggles, commercial decline.
Yeah, things weren't landing the same way. And it culminates in the disaster of Revolution in 1985.
Which leads to turning point number two. The retreat.
A deliberate choice. A four-year withdrawal from filmmaking. A kind of artistic rebellion.
His second wilderness, he calls it. How did he navigate that? Hollywood must have thought he was done.
They probably did.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't just quitting. He went back to his roots. The theater. Poured his own money into directing an experimental film, The Local Stigmatic.
So it was about reclaiming control. Art for art's sake.
Exactly. Getting away from the market pressure, the expectations, finding his own internal compass again.
Mm-hmm.
It was essential for his survival, creatively and maybe personally.
That takes courage, to just walk away when you're at that level.
Huge courage. He had to lose the world, in a way, to find himself again.
And then turning point number three, the comeback. Late 80s, early 90s.
He comes back strong. Sea of Love. Dick Tracy. Glengarry Glen Ross. Building momentum.
Leading to the Oscar for Scent of a Woman in 93.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah, finally. And while he was great in the role, the win felt bigger than that one film, didn't it?
Like a lifetime achievement acknowledgement.
Right. It freed him from that overdue narrative. Validation, but maybe more on his own terms this time, after the retreat.
Human lessons and reflection.
So looking back at this whole arc, this incredible journey of perseverance, what about the human side, beyond the roles? Fatherhood seems really important in the memoir.
immensely important. He talks about his daughter, Julie Marie, and later his twins, Anton and Olivia. He says being a father was his most profound role.
More complex than any screen role.
Absolutely. More rewarding, too. He learned that crucial lesson. Love isn't about being perfect. It's about being present.
That's a big shift for someone who was so monastically dedicated to his craft for so long.
It really shows growth, doesn't it? Finding meaning beyond the spotlight and the messy, real stuff of life.
And professionally, his legacy is just immense. Defining actor of that new Hollywood era.
He brought a psychological depth and emotional intensity to the screen that changed things. Michael Corleone, Tony Montana,
yeah,
they're part of our cultural language now.
He shaped how we see the anti-hero, the complex man on screen.
Three final takeaways.
Definitely. So, boiling it down, what are the big takeaways from Sonny Boy?
Okay, first, I think, is an emotional insight. How his deepest wounds, losing his mother young, his father's absence weren't just baggage. They actually became sources of his creative power.
Yeah, like his whole career was, in a way, trying to connect, trying to make sense of those things through his art, mm-hmm. performing for an audience of one, maybe?
Powerful. Second, an intellectual insight. It really clarifies what the method meant to him. Not mumbling, but this intense, dangerous science of finding emotional truth.
Right. Using your own life, your own vulnerability, as the toolkit to capture something real, something human, it takes guts.
And third, a universal insight. It has to be about resilience, right? Mm. And authentic living. That retreat after revolution wasn't failure.
No, it was a triumph, in a way. The courage to step off the treadmill, ignore the noise, prioritize his soul, his art, over just stardom.
And find his way back on his own terms. It shows that authenticity really does require courage. You have to be willing to choose your own path, even when it's hard.
Closing reflection and narration.
Yeah, his story feels like such an important counter-narrative today in our world of instant everything.
Absolutely. It's a reminder that mastery, real growth, takes time. Decades of hard work, discipline. Yeah. Being willing to fail and learn.
And having the courage to stay true to yourself no matter the pressure.
So it leaves us thinking, doesn't it? What are those core experiences in your life that have shaped you? And how can you maybe reframe them, not as burdens, but as sources of strength, of insight?
Yeah, and what could change if you really committed to expressing your own truth, whatever that is, as honestly and skillfully as you possibly could?
Something to definitely reflect on. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive.
Closing narration.
Join us next time for a new episode. Featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.